Urban Media Today talks sports with Ray Porter Jr., Vince Butts, Trevin A. Jones, and Alan Lincoln on Urban Media Today Radio.
It's Urban Media Today talking sports on Urban Media Today Radio. Trevin A. Jones, your host. Vince Butts is here with me as well. That's my partner. That's why I always say him first is Vince Butts because we're Cleveland Browns fans. I never told him that. Now he knows. And then I got Ray Porter Jr. is also here. And then we got the big guy, Alan Lincoln, who was just, you know, he thinks he's the man because he's winning as far as our predictions are concerned. He got the best record for now. All that being said, we're going to cover a lot today. We're going to talk about the college football playoffs, of course, and the last seedings that just came out. We'll talk about that. We'll also talk about black college football, and we'll talk about college basketball, the NBA, and the NFL. And you'll get our predictions, and then we'll have big words from the big guy to close out the show. Ray, did I not tell you?
You said it.
That if Auburn lost, they were going to find a way to put Alabama in the playoffs. And that's exactly what they did. I'll shut up because I talk a lot during the show. But So the final four is going to be Clemson, Oklahoma, Georgia, and Alabama in that order. That's one problem I have. The other problem I have with this situation is Clemson and Alabama are going to meet each other in the first round. Isn't that the pseudo national championship?
They're not happy about that.
So who's not happy about it?
Well, I shouldn't say it like that. They shouldn't be because, like you said, that would probably be the dream matchup because it would be a repeat.
Would it be a trifecta?
Oh, hey, the trifecta. Because they're the year before.
They're 1-1 when they're facing each other.
And I wanted to say, Trevin, you were 100% right. And when you said it last week, it rung it in me like, man, you're right. And then I kept thinking, please don't lose Wisconsin. Don't lose. But it was Ohio State's night, and I have to give that to them. And when I saw the results that Sunday afternoon, I just shook my head.
Not only was it Ohio State's night, it was Georgia's night, too. Georgia just ran all over Auburn.
They did.
Which was just amazing to me. And see, that was the key to this whole thing. Because if Auburn had won, then you'd only have one SEC team in the playoffs, I think. Because they're going to say, Auburn, okay, you're that good. We're going to keep you in there. And then they would have to look at Ohio State, who again gets jerked for the second time around.
And that's a shame,
Again, they win their conference, but they don't get into and come on, Vince, man. You got to be siding with me on some of this because I talked about Central Florida. Maybe Central Florida wasn't the right example, but Central Florida finished the season 13-0.
That they did.
And they get Auburn.
In the bowl.
Yeah.
But Auburn had to lose in order for them to get Auburn.
Well, but you know, but here's an excellent opportunity for Central Florida. This is a chance for them to kind of, I don't want to say cement yet, but this it does. It gives them an opportunity to establish themselves against the big boys. And Auburn is one of the big boys. I know they had a tough loss against Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they still have talent.
I got you. I don't like it because of this. Central Florida comes into the end of the season. They finish 13-0. Scott Frost is their coach, okay? As they're concluding the season. So they got all the momentum going their way. They've been with the coach all year long. You win 13 games. You win who's been put on the field for you to beat. So now you're saying to me, so now in the bowl, when they get a chance to really prove themselves, now they got to take another step to prove themselves to you now, which is not cool with me because they already proved themselves. You went through your schedule undefeated. Now you got to go to the bowl to play Auburn, who was not as good as we thought they were after they beat Alabama. Georgia ran over these cats. I mean, at one point in this game, you knew the game was over because Georgia was up by, 21 points?
Auburn, I mean, at one point we were looking at Auburn as the number one team in the nation, right?
Of course. Well, because they beat Alabama.
So, I mean, just because a team has a loss to another very good team,
okay.
I mean, how far do we drop them down? You know, I mean.
And I'm glad you said that because now I'm going to bring up Ohio State. Just because Ohio State has a loss, and it was a 30-point loss to Iowa middle of the season.
That was an awful loss.
But they won their conference. Alabama has not won the division, nor have they won a conference. Okay? What are you going to do? It's like you're back and forth. It's like, okay, I'm going with who's the most popular team is what I'm thinking. Now, let me finish my point, though. Number one. I made that point about Auburn. They may be on the way down because they lost the game. They lost to Georgia, so now all the momentum's gone. The momentum's lost, okay? Not only that, but Scott Frost is now going on his way to become the head coach in Nebraska. And his team actually tweeted, we sent him out with a championship. So now you don't have the momentum is kind of lost from Central Florida, I'm saying.
I feel like the players are going to decide, you know, who wins this game.
Yes.
I think I would imagine they have a lot of reasons to go out and play well in this game. I think they want to go out and prove and really prove that they belong.
I agree with that.
And this would be their statement win. As far down as you want to put Auburn, this would be their signature win of the year.
I go with that. I can agree with that.
I don't know what the makeup of their team is, because I don't believe that success necessarily carries over to the next year.
I agree.
But if you have, and I have to look at their roster, but if you have the quarterback coming back, if you have a good part of your starters coming back, then absolutely it could create some momentum into next year. Mm-hmm. And we said, you know, a week or so ago that, or at least I did, I felt like this is a huge thing for recruiting. This is that time of year when, you know, recruiting starts to amp up. And what better way for Central Florida to go out to beat Auburn, a story program like that,
mm-hmm.
with the talent they have on their football team,
mm-hmm.
and bring in recruits and say, we had an undefeated season. Come be a part of this.
Right.
It's a lot easier sell.
First and foremost, you beat South Florida 49-42 in a game that was just 2 weeks ago, in a game that was off the hook. Now, they're in the American Conference. And they won the division, and they won the conference. And then last weekend, they actually, against the Memphis Tigers in the conference championship game, they went into two overtimes, and the final score was 62-55. And you talk about excitement. It's like, to me, that's like, what else do you have to prove? You proved you could play with the big boys. When you're talking about the talent, I mean, I get it. But at the same time, my argument has always been, and Ray and Alan, you can be witness to this. I say it's what happens between the lines. It's a football game. So give them the opportunity to compete for the national championship, because in basketball, you do it.
This is true. It is right.
You know, and I like getting into these conversations with you guys.
Very good.
Especially Vince, because Vince thinks about it. He's like, yeah, well, but Trev, I'm still this cat that I'm looking at the resume. I'm looking at the portfolio. I agree with that. I get you. But Alabama, you lost. So you lost. Yeah, you know, it's like, just because you're Nick Saban and the Tide, you don't get a pass.
Right.
Like, I mean, money, politics always kind of plays into it.
Mm-hmm.
Is it fair? You know, you're always going to have a discussion at this time of year that it's not fair that, you know, a team like UCF didn't get in or Ohio State didn't get in. I mean, it's not a perfect system. I mean, I'm okay with trying to get the four best teams into the college football playoffs, and we watch these games, and I mean, these are going to be some awesome games. I mean, Clemson versus Alabama, part three, Oklahoma versus Georgia, and whoever comes out of those, you got to be looking at, you know, an awesome title game. So, I mean, I'm looking forward to it. As an Ohio State fan, I've already moved past, you know, my team not making it. I wasn't bitter. You know, it was what it was. I believe last year Ohio State got in by not winning their conference championship, when I think Penn State won the Big Ten championship and didn't get in.
And didn't get in, right.
So
this is two times that the Big Ten champ hasn't gotten in.
For Central Florida, and for me to make that case, to me they need to come out and dominate Memphis, and I don't think they did that. And okay. I don't know if that played into the committee's decision.
It did, you know.
I mean, it could have. I mean, but Central Florida is not. It's not Alabama. It's not. I mean, it's not Ohio State. You know, they're not the same draw. So in some way, yeah, money plays into it. You know, I mean, I'm sure the committee wants, you know, the big names to be on the big stage. Mm-hmm. I mean, what I'm looking for is I know you're not on the biggest stage, mm-hmm. but now you're on the big stage.
Well, so in the Peach Bowl, when they meet Auburn.
I want to see them. I would love them to come out and not, they don't have to destroy Auburn. I mean, they can win by a field goal.
Right.
And to me, that puts them in the conversation going forward.
Well, what happens if they play Auburn and lose by a field goal? Do they still get the same respect?
They won't.
That's not fair.
I mean, you're gonna get some commentators, some people that say, well, they fought hard, you know, they're almost there. They're almost there.
I got you.
Is it fair or unfair? I don't know. You know, I hope they come out and play well, and I do hope they win the game so they can take that next step,
right?
And be able to compete on a bigger stage. You know, they're going to get better recruits. You know, sometimes this propels a program into the next level, and I hope it does for them.
And for those football people, I'm going to say, well, Trevin, you don't know what you're talking about. When you look at personnel, you look at reputation, you look at the numbers, and you look at the team, Alabama is probably the best team in college football. But the best teams don't always win the championship because they don't win at the right time. I'm going to move over to black college football. Last weekend, the SWAC championship between Grambling State and Alcorn State went the way of Grambling State by a score of 40-32. The Tigers quarterback Devontae Kincaid was the MVP, and now they will advance to the Celebration Bowl, which will be December 16th, and that will be against North Carolina A&T, who finished the season 11-0. The Grambling State Tigers are 11-1, so this will be the most anticipated Celebration Bowl, Air Force Reserve Celebration Bowl, in the Bowl's history, because this is only be the third one. Last year, the Tigers won the Celebration Bowl over North Carolina Central by a score of 10-9, and that's because a player, when he scored late in the game, and the game would have been tied on the point after touchdown. What he did was he took his helmet off after he ran into the end zone and celebrated, and the penalty was called. And great coaching by Coach Broderick Fobbs, who's the head coach of the Grambling State Tigers. Instead of having the penalty assessed on the kickoff, he wanted the penalty assessed on the extra point. So that meant that it was a 35-yard extra point attempt, and the kicker missed the kick, and they won. The reason Coach Fobbs did that is because the Grambling State Tigers were having kicking problems. Their kicker was actually injured, and they didn't have a kicker through that game. So he knew that they couldn't afford to go to sudden death or overtime. So that was just great coaching on his part. But what they're going to do is they're going to face North Carolina A&T and Coach Rod Broadway. The Aggies are 11-0, and Lamar Renard just was named the Offensive Player of the Year by the National Football Foundation this week. Will be facing off against Devontae Kincaid. And get this, both of those players are finalists for the Black College Football Hall of Fame Deacon Jones Award, which goes to the Black College Football Player of the Year. So this should be an interesting matchup. Once again, it's North Carolina A&T and the Grambling State Tigers, December 16th in Atlanta, and then Mercedes-Benz Stadium. I mean, so it's going to be an awesome weekend, next weekend. We're going to take a break. And then we're going to come back and talk about college basketball briefly. And we'll talk about the NBA. It's Urban Media Today talking sports.
Call RSG Financial for your bookkeeping, accounting, and tax service needs. Call 412-742-4345. RSG Financial provides accounting and tax services for business and personal needs. Call us or email MaryJo@RiversideSalesGroup.com. Riverside Sales Group is proud to be an organization with minority ownership. Call today, 412-742-4345.
It's Urban Media Today talking sports. Trevin A. Jones, along with Vince Butts and Ray Porter Jr. and Alan Lincoln. Fellas, Duke is doing their thing. You know, earlier this week when the poll was out, and the top 10, maybe even the top 20, you had Duke was number one. But there's a guy for Texas that you all have to pay attention to. His name is Muhammad Bamba. Man, he's 6'11", but his wingspan is 7'9". I saw him in the game against VCU. And the Longhorns only 6-2, I'll give you that. But it's 71-67 was the win over the Rams. That was earlier this week that I saw. He had 13 points and 13 rebounds. And his wingspan is just incredible. And go to Google it, Muhammad Bamba, and look for his dunk against the VCU Rams. And that will tell you everything I'm excited about. I mean, because he hesitated, looked like he wanted to go down the lane, and then decided to go down the lane. And when he went up to dunk the ball, when he stretched his body out to dunk it, it looked like he had the ball up at the top of the backboard. And then it's almost like he had to push down to make the dunk happen because he was so far above the rim. Are you kidding me? And they're calling his dunk the dunk of the year. So watch out for Muhammad Bamba. I mean, just to watch a player like that, that's a guy that just catches your attention. Mm-hmm. So I'm putting that out there for you guys to check that out. Mohamed Bamba, Texas. Because when it comes to March Madness time, you guys are going to want to look for certain players and certain teams and guys that can make some magic happen. I believe he's one of them because he's 6'11 and can dribble the ball and went down the lane. But that being said, we'll go back, and I know we talked a little bit about this last time. Let's talk about Duke. I mean, Duke looks like Coach Krzyzewski. This is like he just has his – he just reloads.
Right. He certainly does. He loses a bunch of recruits and just gets some more.
Yeah, and then not only does he get some more, but it's like Marvin Bagley is just the truth. And then you got Grayson Allen, the kick man. I mean, he was suspended a couple times for not knowing where to put his feet after he's down on the ground.
I think they said they're just getting started.
Yeah, that's what they're saying. They're just getting started. That's why they're the number one team in the league
right now. For sure.
I mean, and you got Gary Trent Jr., who's another guard, and he's a McDonald All-American. Where is Coach Krzyzewski? Like, his recruiting is just off the hook. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's because it's the Duke reputation.
Yeah,
I think that's a big part of it. I mean, I know Coach K is an awesome coach. You know, I think he's a player's coach.
Mm-hmm.
You know, lets players play. How much recruiting do you have to do? You know, I mean, it's Duke. You know,
yeah.
We don't rebuild. We just reload,
and that's exactly what they're doing. And the thing that just is amazing to me is when I said Gary Trent Jr. It's in his name. You know, his father played for the Timberwolves in the NBA, so he has the pedigree of an NBA family.
He was a bruiser.
Yeah, he was a bruiser.
Yes, he was.
But his son's a guard. I mean, but I'm just saying, it's like, where is Coach K just getting the access to this talent? Well, it's based on the Duke reputation. So without question. So, I mean, you're looking at Duke. We talked about Texas a little bit. Texas, again, like I said, not rated. But I just wanted to bring that up just to talk about, you know, how impressed I am with the talent that Duke is just beating up on. So I just wanted to mention that. And, again, like I said, keep your eye on Mohamed Bamba from Texas. NBA, man. Golden State Warriors look like they're having problems, though. They don't look like they can keep their tempers to themselves. And Vince is our man when it comes to the NBA. So, Vince, what happened to the Celtics? They kind of
Celtics still right there.
Okay.
I mean, all right. They might be people might forget about them because they don't have this or that going on. You know, your players aren't getting ejected, like, you know, a la Kevin Durant. Players aren't maybe not getting injured, you know, like Steph Curry.
Mm-hmm.
But the way I see it, Boston is still at the top of the power rankings.
Okay.
They're still in firm control with no signs of losing it. I mean, you know, teams are, you know, behind them are looking pretty good. The Cavaliers, you know, winners of 14 plus in a row. You know, LeBron is doing his thing. You know, that seems one of the things that's interesting to me is they seem to have cut out a lot of the distractions. They're just going out and playing basketball.
Okay.
And I think, you know, for that team, it's important for them to do that, especially now. Mm-hmm. I know it's early in the season. And I'm kind of going to do one of my Ray Porter impersonations.
If the playoffs would end.
If the playoffs started this week. you have the Celtics.
Mm-hmm.
Will play against an AFC, the Pacers. The Cavs against the Wizards. Mm-hmm. Raptors against Bucks. Pistons, and guess who? The 76ers.
Yeah, the Sixers.
Hanging in there.
Yeah, they were 13-10 earlier this week. What about if you go out west?
Rockets.
Okay.
I think Rockets have a firm grasp on number one seed.
Mm-hmm.
No signs of giving that up. Right now, they would play the Pelicans.
And they had a 7-game winning streak going on around Wednesday.
Right. The Warriors would play, as a 2 seed, would play the Jazz.
Mm-hmm.
Spurs. Who are set to get Kawhi Leonard back. They will play the Trail Blazers, who are always a tough matchup with that phenomenal backcourt.
Mm-hmm.
The Nuggets would be the 4 seed, and the upstart Timberwolves.
Ooh, the Timberwolves. Mm-hmm. The up-and-coming Timberwolves. Because you got the big cat, Karl Anthony Towns. It's like in the center, in the heart of that. I like him playing.
I mean,
then you got Butler.
Right. I think he's the X factor.
Okay.
You know, I mean, he's – to me, he's the – he has to be the leader of that team.
Jimmy Butler,
right? Okay. You know, he's been the man before in Chicago.
Mm-hmm. Was he really the man in Chicago, though?
I mean, you know, he's an all-star. He's mm-hmm. a multiple all-star.
Mm-hmm.
He's been in the playoffs. He's a veteran. You know, he knows what it takes to get to the playoffs. He knows what the what that level is like once you get it, everything amps up another level once you get to the playoffs. And he, you know, he can let these young guys know what it's like. Mm. You know, I mean, we got a long grind for the season. He'll get them to understand it's about peaking at the right time.
Okay.
It's about being healthy, you know, because, I mean, we all know if guys aren't healthy come playoff times,
right?
You know, John Wall, Chris Paul, right, guys aren't available,
right?
You know, your season's pretty much done.
Problems. Mm-hmm. All right. Speaking about guys, who's standing out in your mind as players? Like, LeBron definitely is, because he just changed everything up. It's like LeBron decided to play.
Right. You know, I got three players who I'm looking at for MVP who are battling out for MVP.
Okay.
I got Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Giannis the Greek freak. Yes. Okay.
You know, still averaging 30 points, 10 boards, 4 assists,
right,
and 2 blocks. He does it. He does everything,
right,
for that Milwaukee team.
Okay.
LeBron, you know, leading leading the Cavs in second place in the East. You know, 28 points, 8 boards, 8.5 assists a game. Just his usual stat line.
Yeah. But what's unusual about LeBron at this point, though, is his shooting, right?
Right. 58% from the field.
God.
I mean.
And what about from behind the three-point line? He's increased that.
41%?
From the three-point line.
From the three-point line.
Yes.
You know?
Okay.
I mean, you know what? Like, I mean, when he lines it up, like, you know, I mean, you almost feel like it's going down every single time. You know, and it's that time of the game where you need a big shot.
Mm-hmm.
It always seems like he's in position to hit it, and all the momentum is in his favor. And the other player I'm looking at for MVP right now is James Harden.
Okay.
Especially with Chris Paul out, I mean, the Rockets have been phenomenal. I don't know that we would have at this point. I know it's early, but would have guess the Rockets would be number one seed right now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, without Chris Paul, without Patrick Beverley, you know, when they traded him away,
mm-hmm,
Harden is just doing his thing, and he's averaging almost 32 points a game, 5 rebounds, around 10 assists a game. I mean, he's obviously the spark of that Rockets team. And actually, this year, I don't hear any grumblings about his defense. He might be picking it up on defense this year.
Okay.
And if that happens, maybe we're not looking at, you know, these last couple of years, everyone's talking about the Cavs and the Warriors in the finals.
Right.
You know, I think James Harden might have a little bit of something to say about that.
Man, but wait a minute. Wait. You don't have nothing to say about the reigning MVP? I mean, Russell Westbrook is still averaging, 22 points a game? He's still averaging 9.2 rebounds. He's still averaging 9.7 assists per game.
He's got the stats, but that team is struggling a little bit. I mean, they're struggling to find out who they really are right now. And that's not that. And then maybe that's not a knock on him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you bring in Carmelo and Paul George, and there's going to be some adjustment.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they'll figure it out. But we're early.
Right.
We're early, and I'm sure. You know, he's gonna have something to say about. You know, maybe he's listening, so maybe he'll have an axe to grind with me. We not putting him into that top three right now.
Oh yeah, because I'm gonna say he ain't got an axe to grind with me. I'm already talking about him. He's close to averaging a triple double already. I'm like, come on. What about Kevin Durant? Now Kevin Durant got ejected from a game, and he ain't want nothing to do with Boogie Cousins last weekend.
They told me before they do all that talking.
Okay,
and they don't really want it.
Okay. Yeah,
they don't really want it.
But KD's averaging 24 points a game. This his numbers pale. Like, mm-hmm, we just talked about Russell Westbrook, like nine rebounds, 9 assists per game, 22 points. Mm-hmm. And you got KD, and KD's on a team that's full of talent.
Right.
His numbers aren't bad. He's shooting 40% from behind the three-point line. He's a big man. He's over 6'10". Mm-hmm. He's hitting 52% from the field. And he's shooting 85% from the free throw line, which is impressive.
You know, I think he would be quite fine with not being the MVP of the regular season.
Mm-hmm. And being MVP of the playoffs again.
Right. Like he did last year, you know, he's going to come out in the playoffs and show, like, who's the alpha male out here.
Okay.
You know, who's really got it going on.
Okay.
I'll take this championship MVP of the finals versus regular season, you know?
Yeah, but see, that's where I would think Steph Curry comes in, though. Because Steph, being the veteran that he is, I don't know if he – and maybe he does step aside because, you know, he could have been the MVP at some point.
Right.
But, I mean, this year – and he sprained his ankle.
Yeah, he's going to be out for a couple weeks.
Yeah. So, I mean, but before that, he was averaging – Steph Curry shoots 93% from the free throw line. Can you imagine? It's like you don't miss.
He also was the fastest to 2,000 –
three-pointers, right?
Three-pointers.
Right. Got you.
Yo, this cat averaged almost 3.5 made three-pointers a game.
Which is incredible.
Absolutely incredible.
Yeah, that's incredible.
I'm a basketball fan.
Right.
I think his game is, you know, is great for the NBA. Mm-hmm. It's great for a lot of young people because, you know, everyone's not going to be the 6'9", 6'10", you know, power four, whatever,
mm-hmm.
but you can be an excellent shooter. So, you know, a lot of players can learn how to be better shooters. So I think Steph Curry is great for the game. I think he inspires a lot of young people to get involved. I just don't think, you know, it's hard for me to have an MVP come off of that team. You know, I mean, I don't take anything away from what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, quiet is kept. You know, and during this offseason, I was kind of interested to see if Klay Thompson was going to leave.
Yeah,
because Klay Thompson leaves, and I think you see Klay Thompson status blow up. Mm. Like I think he's that good. I don't want to say he's holding back, but there's a lot of deference. You know, when you have Steph Curry, you have Kevin Durant, who you know. Sort of ahead of you in the pecking order.
Okay.
But I think Klay Thompson is, I mean, he might be like the unsung hero of that team.
But, I mean, when you talk about unsung heroes, then you got to be talking about Draymond Green. I mean,
yeah,
Draymond.
He's the heart and soul. You know, he gets the engine running, not only his team, but he gets the water boiling for the other team.
Right.
You know, like he's that enforcer. He's the guy that he's at the center of it all.
Mm-hmm.
He can do everything.
Right.
And he probably sacrifices a little bit, you know, scoring wise, just to make sure
the team is cool.
Right.
I mean, I like what you said about Klay because Klay is averaging 50% from the floor. So that means every time he puts the ball up. Every two times, mm-hmm. he's going to make one out of two shots from the floor.
Right.
And you might say, so what, Trevin? So that means every two shots, he's making one,
right.
Which is incredible to me. Not only that, he's hitting 47% from beyond the three-point line. He's almost hitting every one of two shots from beyond the three-point line. That's incredible. I mean, if you play basketball, go out there behind that arc and try to put the ball up 10 times. See how many times you make it.
Two.
Yeah, but I'm just saying that. I mean, and this is with the best athletes in the world in front of you, defending you.
Right.
Which is crazy to me. Ray, who is your favorite team?
I'm a Cavs fan.
So you're a Cavs too?
Because I've been a LeBron fan since high school.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I've always admired his game. I always, you know, my younger self anyway, always looked at one eyebrow with kids that would skip over college for the NBA. But it's been proven that there's lots that have done it, starting from Kevin Garnett, starting all the way back from Moses Malone. So,
right, and Spencer Haywood.
And Spencer
Haywood.
Haywood
was the first to go straight to the pros.
He was the first,
because he was signed into the ABA. And I think Kobe was one of the last ones right before LeBron, if I'm not mistaken.
I believe he was, yes, sir.
Yeah, so that's crazy, but go ahead.
Yeah, I was watching them, and, you know, Vince and I would talk about them from the start, even when they struggled. And it's amazing how, you know, the media is what they do, and it's who they are. You know, they'll jump on the hot teams. Obviously, Boston was the flaming team starting off, and they still are number one in the conference.
Right.
But you knew it was just a matter of time before LeBron and company was going to get their groove. And I think, in my opinion, and I wouldn't say this to be cruel, but it really took them really not relying on Derrick Rose at this point.
They had the luxury of just kind of letting him kind of work through some of his issues, get healthy, and then I think, you know, when the time comes, you know, if he's ready, I think they're going to open him back with open arms, you know, get him back in the rotation. Maybe by then, I mean, I don't know how long this is going to take, but, you know, you're soon to have Isaiah Thomas back. So, I mean, this team could really be at full strength and really make a nice run at the second half of the season.
And yeah, I say they do need him. I mean, I like – because you're going to need the numbers. Mm-hmm. It's going to come down to numbers when it comes to the playoffs, not even the second half of the season. Derrick Rose, for me, and I kind of see what you're saying, right? Derrick Rose can sit out for 20 games as far as I'm concerned, maybe even 25 games, and it, because you want him playing in some type of playing shape before you get into the postseason. Right. Because when you're looking at the point guard situation for the Cavs, you only have Isaiah Thomas, Derrick Rose, and Dwayne Wade. Dwayne Wade is not a natural point guard. Right. So he's playing point guard. So Jose Calderon is another point guard. After you talk about Tristan Thompson, J.R. Smith, Kevin Love, Isaiah Thomas, Dwayne Wade, Derrick Rose, LeBron James, where are you going from there, man?
True.
How many you name? Because when we get to the playoffs, I mean, you know, your bench gets shortened quite a bit, you know, whereas during the season, you might go, you know, 10, 11 deep. You know, you get to the playoffs and you forget about some guys on purpose. So you get down to –
The eight that I named, who are you looking at? That's the eight that I named. When you look at Jay Crowder, Tristan Thompson, J.R. Smith, Kevin Love, Isaiah Thomas, Dwayne Wade, Derrick Rose, and LeBron James. And out of the eight that I just named, two of them aren't playing right now.
And Jeff Green?
Well, I didn't name Jeff Green. So nine players.
To me, that's a solid nine.
Mm-hmm.
And players don't have to jump out at the page for you. But, you know, Jeff Green, to me, has been nice for them.
He can jump too. He can dunk.
Right. And yeah. You know, when you talk about Dwayne Wade on the second unit, Tristan Thompson on the second unit,
mm-hmm.
Jay Crowder. Mm-hmm. You know he's interchangeable.
Mm-hmm.
Dwayne Wade has thrived on the second unit,
mm-hmm.
And he's accepted that role, so he can come in and lead that second unit of guys. And during the regular season, you're going to include Channing Frye in that. You know, Amon Shumpert is out. I think he has a knee injury,
mm-hmm.
But he'll be back.
But you still got J.R. Smith.
J.R. Smith. I mean, J.R. Smith will be in your starting lineup.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you who I love when you talk about the Celtics. Jason Tatum.
Oh, absolutely. He is
he
nice.
He is the truth.
He is okay? Nice.
Jason Tatum is the truth. So, I thought Marcus Smart would be the man because Marcus Smart was so touted coming mm-hmm. out of school.
Right.
But not so much. We're going to shift gears and take a break, and we'll come back talking about the NFL and our predictions and then big words from the big guy, and that'll be a wrap on this one. This is Urban Media Today talking sports on Urban Media Today Radio. VIPs get the full treatment everywhere they go. First class this, front row that, and all access everything, right? Well, that's what you get when you subscribe to UrbanMediaToday.com. You'll be the first to receive exclusive updates in entertainment, news, sports, finance, health, and fashion. You'll also have a direct line to our online station that gives you the best in R&B, classic soul, jazz, gospel, old school hip-hop, and more. What else does an Urban Media Today VIP get? How about a chance at winning great prices like free tickets to shows? That's a good price. Gift cards, Urban Media Today swag, and more. And if you don't get enough of HBCU sports, how about an all-access pass to the latest in HBCU football and basketball online? And also on Urban Media Today Radio. And most importantly, you'll receive access to Urban Media Today's podcast on sports, news, finance, entertainment, and more. It's a look inside the urban lifestyle in the palm of your hand or on your desktop. So subscribe today for only a year for $19.99, and we'll do the rest. Urban Media Today is your source for urban entertainment, news, sports, fitness, and lifestyle. So what you waiting for? Log on to UrbanMediaToday.com and subscribe today. This is the part of the program where we talk NFL football. Ray, you cover the Steelers. You're our expert on the Steelers. So again, man, I say to you this. The top four teams in the league have been the same top four teams. There's been a change because the Minnesota Vikings now are the top team, even though everybody has 10-2 records. You got the Philadelphia Eagles, Pittsburgh Steelers, New England Patriots. Talk about the Steelers.
Well, Trevin, it was good to see them pull out another win on Sunday. I believe that for them to come back like they had, and it's obvious it was the Bengals, and the Bengals are known for self-destructing, so we definitely know the history. But it's nice to see when a team knows when they can be great. I mean, here you had a team that was down 17-0. In fact, let's even go back further. That was affected by, of course, the injury to Ryan Shazier. I mean, it affected me watching it. You see the difference. You saw how sloppy they were in the first half. You saw how the Bengals capitalized and got it done. And then you seen it in the second half. They turned it around. So now here they are at 10-2. As we say, or as I always say, if this season ended today, the Steelers would get home field advantage throughout the playoffs. Which, so I think that's a good situation to be in.
Right. If and Pittsburgh actually had to come back,
but they fought.
Yeah, literally. Look at Juju Smith-Schuster. What is that?
Yeah, my issues with Juju is this isn't like how it was back in the 90s, all the way up to what, probably 2010 before they started cracking down. And of course, they used James Harrison as the poster child for that, saying you can't lead with your head, saying you can't do this and you can't do that.
Right, but that hit that the Schuster had was actually the Hines Ward rule.
I really thought Juju's hit was how are you supposed to block somebody when they're coming toward you if you can't literally go? And I thought he went more to the shoulder than to the head. Where the problem I had with Juju in the end was that he stood over top of him.
Exactly.
More than really what the hit was. One of the things that the NFL has to come to grips with is it cannot be both. Your fans watch the NFL for the collisions that go on out in the field, and they keep trying to regulate them. Now, on quarterbacks, you have from their waist to their shoulders they hit them, and yet they're better athletes and stronger and just a lot more difficult. You can't go low. Even if you get blocked into them low, they're going to throw the flag on you now. So the NFL has to come to some way of getting back to playing football. Now, I understand that people get hurt. If you're a race car driver, you're going to get hurt. If you work in a coal mine, you're going to get hurt. But the answer, in my mind, is that the NFL needs consistency. And the problem is that referees are inconsistent in the way they call the game, so you don't know from week to week how the game is going to be played.
Speaking of inconsistency, the third one was taught was George Iloka, the hit that he laid on Antonio Brown when Antonio caught the touchdown. And they said that Antonio lowered his head, so Iloka, you know, he couldn't readjust because that was a bang-bang play because the game moved so fast. I agree with that. I mean, when I look at the replay, I agree with that. My thing is, Juju gets a suspension for one game. But if you gentlemen will remember, the night before or the afternoon before, you have Rob Gronkowski who lays into Jadavious White, defensive back for the Buffalo Bills, who was out of bounds on the ground. Play is over. He's already been touched down just by another Patriot. And then Rob loads up like he's in WWF wrestling and actually puts all his weight. What's he, 250? 260?
I thought it was more than that.
260. Yeah. All 260 of them lazing into the back of Jadavious' neck, his head.
Yeah.
Brainstem injury could have been there. Jadavious is now in concussion protocol.
Yeah.
My point is, Gronkowski got a one-game suspension.
Yeah.
Juju Smith-Schuster got a one-game suspension. How is that?
It's a bunch of foolishness, in my opinion. And you know what? Something just popped in my head. Some people will probably agree with this, but call it the Patriots' privilege.
Well, I mean, yeah, and it's a Rob Gronkowski privilege at that point. I mean, if that had been, and since you brought it up, I'm going to go there. Had been a black player, all hell would have broke loose. I'm sorry. There would have been, like, what is that? That is not, that's not football.
No, it's not.
Throw him out the game. Yeah. I'll give you another example. If that had been Cam Newton, let's say Cam Newton was on the field and he threw an interception and he was the one that was right there when the person got tackled and or the play was over and then he loaded up and did that, are you kidding me?
Right, that's true.
Vince, Cam would have been roasted.
Yeah, probably so.
I mean, would he even be able to play the last four games of the season?
They'd still be talking about him.
I mean, I hope they wouldn't, you know, go more than two games. Two games is, you know, to me is enough. I mean, you have to police the league in some sort of way, and I mean you know, star players especially, they should be, you know, you got to make them an example, right? I mean the hit was pretty bad, a totally defenseless player, with no chance to defend himself. Yeah, I give him at least two games.
Two games?
Yeah.
Alan, how many games would you have given Rob Gronkowski?
I probably, as I thought about it when I watched it, and I watched it quite a few times, I was leaning more to suspending him for the balance of the season.
Me too.
And the reason is because that was, not only was it Bush League, he intentionally tried to maim this young man.
Yep.
And that's where I have the problem with the NFL and how they handle things. There was a play 2 weeks ago where a guy got, and I can't remember exactly the play, but he got fined, but they never threw a flag on the play.
Yeah.
So the inconsistency comes in all the time. And let me not even, Monday night, listening to John Gruden and that other knucklehead announcer
right.
drove me absolutely nuts. They mispronounced names over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't say, if they got the last name right, they got the first name wrong. And if they got the first name right, they got the last name wrong on a lot of things. And these guys are being paid millions of dollars to be prepared to go out and call a game.
Right.
And they don't do it. And the NFL allows this. Regardless of it's just time to clean the game up from the perspective of for the fans now. Let's get back to worrying about the fans and how we see the game and how we pay for all of them to live that luxury lifestyle.
Yeah.
He should have been gone for the rest of the season. Mm-hmm. Come back playoff time. See you, Rob. You can come back playoff time.
Right.
I wouldn't even let him come back. He should be done for the year. That was vicious, and he did think about it. Mm-hmm. And in the court of law, it would have been premeditated murder.
I got you.
Or at least manslaughter.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's a step that is just unbelievable that the NFL allows that to happen over and over again.
But wait a minute. Let's advance this. The commissioner that gave him a one-game suspension just signed a contract extension. So the owners must think he's doing something right. Are you kidding me? Roger Goodell just signed a contract extension.
Well, look at the profit lines.
Okay.
I'm a big believer that you get paid what you're worth. And if he continues to contribute to the bottom line the way he has as a commissioner, there's a lot of things about the commissioner that I don't like, but he's been excellent for the league from a profit standpoint. Not necessarily from the standpoint of a better product is on the field, but the profit has been there. Now, I think that you'll watch over the next couple years, and if profit flattens or goes down, there'll be a whole lot of renegotiation that they'll be trying to do with him. All of these owners are in the game not for the love of the game. They're in this field for the money that they can make for themselves and their families. Most of them are generational money. So that means that long after they're gone, as we're in the third generation of the Rooney family here in Pittsburgh, their children will maintain and continue to grow and make a lot of money. It is about money.
It always is about money. I get that. I get that. And I'm just not a fan of Roger Goodell right now because I'm still looking at that Ezekiel Elliott suspension. That's six games for something that you didn't prove. I mean, you had your own investigation as the NFL, but you really didn't prove anything, and he still has to sit out six games. Then let's take it back, Tom Brady. I mean, I'm not a Tom Brady fan or New England Patriots fan, but he got suspended four games where he actually ended up – he had to actually do the suspension. It took a long time because he was appealing it, but he still had to serve the suspension. Again, that's something you really didn't prove.
Right.
All this, you're handing out suspensions on things that you don't prove, and then you see something that's right in front of you that's proven with Rob Gronkowski, and you give him one game?
Yeah.
Okay. Mr. Vince Butts, I didn't hear you, and I'm about to rave about this, but I didn't hear you talk about my man Josh Gordon coming back, averaging 21 yards a catch, caught four of the 11 targets that were sent his way in his first game back in almost 2 years. Yeah. A year and a half, maybe?
Maybe more than that.
Maybe three, three in years. Almost 3 years.
Almost 3 years.
So this is considered his third year in the league. Yeah. But my man, in game one, who you told me, well, he's not going to do much. I mean, it's not outstanding or amazing.
I mean, his average was nice. He had a decent game for his first game back.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't expect him to set the world on fire.
Right. I mean, yeah, 85 yards, four mm-hmm. receptions.
Right. I mean, it's, you know, something to build on.
Okay.
And I just didn't want to go get all excited and then and the kid come out and, you know, and he's out of shape or, I didn't see the game. He had 11 targets.
Or he had to stop and smoke a weed in the middle of the.
I mean, if he had to stop and smoke weed, he probably would have had Bobby caught all 11 of those passes.
You say, but I just wanted to say that I wanted to bring that up because you were playing the LA Chargers, who are hot right now. They're on a winning streak and they're actually making some noise out there in the AFC West, because it's between them, the Chiefs, and the Raiders as far as who's the top team in the AFC. The Chiefs have it right now, but, I mean, the Chargers are right there. So I'm thinking, hey, man, this guy's doing pretty good against a team that might be a potential playoff team.
This is true. I mean, they're looking pretty good. It's and speaking of those playoffs, I just can't wait till it happens. It honestly looks like the NFC is set, though. What's your thoughts on that?
On the NFC being set?
Yeah.
I don't know. Minnesota's kind of making me mad because it's like, okay, I'm thinking Philadelphia Eagles, and here comes Minnesota doing their thing.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, I don't think it's set. And actually, I think it's interesting. I think Minnesota makes it more interesting because it's not going to be set until the last week of the regular season.
You have to be concerned with Seattle.
Without question.
Everybody's said their defense wouldn't hold up. They certainly held up against Philadelphia this last week. They have Russell Wilson, and I can't say much more than that. I mean, he carries that team more than almost any other quarterback around. He's just that dynamic. I think Philadelphia is still the best team in the NFC, followed by Minnesota and then Seattle. But I do believe that, depending on where those games are set, I think Seattle can go on the road and play with anybody. But hopefully for Philly, if you're rooting for the Eagles, that they'll get all these home games in the playoffs, and that will maybe get them to a Super Bowl. But, you know, Andy took them to, how many, 3-4 AFC championship games in a row and couldn't get over the hump. So.
Right.
There's a curse on Philadelphia, too.
Yeah, and the curse could be in the form of the New Orleans Saints, Carolina Panthers, or the Los Angeles Rams. I mean, because all three of those teams are seem like they found their stride.
But here's an interesting point, though. And who do you think is going to suffer the Kansas City bug? You know, and what do I mean by that? Kansas City Chiefs are known for having the first or second best records in football, and they falter in the playoffs. So who do you think from the NFC is going to face that Kansas City curse?
It could be the Eagles.
Yeah. Well, I have a different question for you.
Mm.
Wouldn't you take Andy Reid as your head coach? Here's a guy to get you in the playoffs year after year, but can never get over the hump. Would you take him as your head coach? Cleveland? Would you take Andy Reid as your head coach?
If he had control over personnel, yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean that to me that forms. Yeah, he's your coach, and he has, he's able to say who he wants to bring in as players. You know, he's a talent evaluator. That sets a nice foundation for the future. So absolutely, I would take him. I mean, I'll take 10 wins a year, 9-10 wins a year, versus one every couple.
Yeah, for me,
right?
I'd take him.
Yeah, I honestly would agree with that because. And to use the expression, sometimes you got to crawl before you can walk. And in their case, you know, kind of like even what other teams go through when they face those struggles, you got to take it one step at a time.
Right.
If you can start it off with 10 wins, they should get you into playoffs anyway. But if it doesn't, that's success.
Yeah. Gentlemen, the key word is playoffs. You get me in the playoffs, yeah, I'm hiring you every year. We can always find that we can make something happen throughout the year because
right.
Playoffs is the second season. So
right.
By the time we get to the second season, we're going to find the problem
right.
And make it happen. This is the part of the show when one of us just puts his chest out a little bit more than the rest of us. And he's earned it. I give it to him.
Thank you very much.
So I don't even have to introduce him. That's the big guy, Alan Lincoln, of course. Right now, he's 17-4. Ray is 13-8.
17-4.
Yes. Ray is 13-8. Vince is 15-6, and I'm 11-7. 7-11, that's my birthday, so that's a good luck number for me. But anyway, and this, of course, I'm talking about the prediction segment. So this is where we'll do predictions for three games and see who has the best record at season's end. Right now, as you already know, Allen is in the lead. He did pretty good last week. He picked two winners, of course. And that was Seattle and Pittsburgh. He and I went with Atlanta in that Atlanta-Minnesota game, and Minnesota beat Atlanta 14-9. So that's where Ray and Vince, you know, they actually looked pretty good. And then you had the Philadelphia at the Seattle game. Seattle won that game 24-10. Allen and I picked Seattle. So, and Allen was actually pretty good with his selection because it was 24-21 was the score that he predicted in favor of Seattle. Then you had Pittsburgh and Cincinnati, and that's what I wanted to step out on a limb. I was all by my lonesome. The Steelers won 23-20. Don't laugh because you were shaking in your boots towards until the end of that game.
I was confident they were going to come back.
Okay. So this week, what we'll do is we're going to pick the game is going to be Oakland and Kansas City, Philadelphia at the L.A. Rams, and the Ravens at the Steelers. Ray, Allen, let's start with you first this time.
Although I don't feel good about any of these games this week, to be honest with you. Yeah. Oakland and Kansas City is going to be a very interesting game. I don't think either one of these teams are very good teams. And Oakland is going to Kansas City. I think that Kansas City will pull this game out 24-21.
Vince, what you got? Now, pay attention. Allen laid it out for you.
Look, I took notes without even taking notes. I agree. KC is they're hard to trust right now. But I think the thing that they have going for them is they're at home. So I'm going to go with KC in a close game, 21-17.
21-17.
Wait a minute. Can I change mine?
All right, Ray. Who you got? Now, remember, Allen's laid it out for you.
I believe that, as I mentioned, Kansas City, they're a bunch of smoke and mirrors. They're like an actor that knows how to do things like it's real life until the director says cut.
Mm-hmm.
They're going up against Oakland, who started off struggling. So I believe that Oakland has the best shot to win the division, and that's going to start with them beating Kansas City by the score of 21-17.
Now I feel better. Oh.
Well, I'm actually going to put my neck out there, and I'm going to agree with Ray this time. So I'm going with Oakland, and the score is going to be 28-21, Oakland. The next game is going to be Philadelphia at the L.A. Rams. Allen, we'll start with you.
I'm going to pick Philadelphia in an upset over the Rams by a score of 28-21.
All right, Vince, what you got?
Got a little bit different direction. I think I'm going to go with the Rams at home in a close game, 28-27.
Okay, Ray, who you got?
Philadelphia in a shootout, 38-35.
I'm going with the Eagles, 24-17. All right, Allen, so the next game. Looking at the Ravens making the trip to Pittsburgh. Who you got?
24-17, Pittsburgh.
Go ahead, Vince.
I'm going Steelers 24-13.
All right, Ray, who you got?
I believe that the Steelers will be ready for Baltimore 27-17.
All right, so I'm going to be the lone man on this one. I'm going with Baltimore without question. The score is going to be 12-9. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back with big words from the big guy. And this is Talking Sports on Urban Media Today Radio.
Tune in weeknights at 8 p.m. for The Nightcap, your favorite slow jams for lovers. Or maybe you want to sit back, relax, and unwind. After a long day at work, you'll need a nightcap. So relax. We'll handle the rest. It's The Nightcap on Urban Media Today Radio.
It's Urban Media Today Talking Sports, and this is a segment of the show where before we wrap up, we always get some insightful words from the big guy. It's Allen Lincoln, and we call this segment Big Words from the Big Guy. It's all yours.
Thank you. It's hard to be humble when you're great as I am.
We're not talking about predictions, right?
And it isn't the mountain ahead to climb that wears you out. It's the pebbles in your shoes. These were quotes by the GOAT, the great one, Muhammad Ali. And Muhammad Ali came to mind yesterday when Sports Illustrated named Colin Kaepernick the Muhammad Ali Legacy Award. So on Tuesday night, activist and professional football player Colin Kaepernick was presented with the Sports Illustrated Muhammad Ali Legend Award. And the person to present this prestigious award to him was none other than Beyonce, who made a surprise appearance to praise him for his accomplishment. Beyonce thanked him for his selfless heart in taking a knee against racial injustice and police brutality, which in turn sparked a national movement. Colin took action with no fear of consequences or repercussion, only hoping to change the world for the better. This unselfishness is admired by many people. Colin said, "I accept this award knowing that the legacy of Muhammad Ali is that of a champion of people. I accept this award not for myself, but on behalf of the people. Because if it were not for the love of the people, I would not have protested. And if it was not for the support from the people, I would not be on this stage today." Colin pledged $1 million of his own money to help this cause. He's given $150,000 to anti-police brutality, $209,000 to youth initiatives, $233,000 to community reforms and minority empowerment programs, $283,000 to health reform in the minority community, and $25,000 for climate change awareness. This is $1 million of his own money that he has pledged to help the world a better place. And of course, while the Twitter world jumped out with all of its hate, we must be bigger, because we are so much bigger than the people on Twitter are. The GOAT would say, "Live every day as if it was your last, because someday you're going to be right." And finally, hating people because of their color is wrong. And it doesn't matter which color does the hating. It's just plain wrong. Muhammad Ali, 1942 to 2016.
And there you have it. Big words from the big guy. Insightful, intuitive, shining a light on the topic, this time concerning Colin Kaepernick. The team today has been myself, Trevin A. Jones, along with Vince Butts and Ray Porter Jr., as well as Alan Lincoln. Make sure you tune in to us next Saturday, because like I always tell you, there's a whole lot more of where this came from, especially as we wind down the NFL season and look towards the postseason. So it's Urban Media Today, talking sports. We'll see you here every Saturday, 8 a.m. The replay of our show is at 5 p.m. See you next weekend.
Urban Media Today talks sports every week on Urban Media Today Radio, where you can listen in on free music and podcasts on our SoundCloud station at Urban Media Today. And for more information, log on to urbanmediatoday.com, your lifestyle, entertainment, and sports blog website.
What type of game is being played? How's it doing down? I get up, all right?